All right, we're ready to go.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys, good to see you all today. Looks like the prayers for Sun were answered. That's great. I hope y'all are doing well. I will try my best if you can't hear me, you know, kind of wave your arms at me, and I'll try to project even louder. We'll see how my voice holds out. Or, yeah, you can always move in closer, too. I want to read first from Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And then I want to read from Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 to 7. The Apostle Paul, writing from prison, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would help us to learn what it means to cast our cares upon you. Help us to learn what it means to go to war with the worries and anxieties that plague us, that distract us, that hold us down. Father, help us to learn what it means for you to be our faithful and generous and good Father, for us to be your beloved children. Father, this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm sure we can all find all kinds of things to worry about. But we need to understand what worry does to us. Worry drains us of energy. It distracts us from things God wants us to focus on. It hurts our productivity. It wastes time. It can strain relationships. And of course, it dishonors God. This conference is about passing wisdom on to the rising generation. Worry is something you need wisdom about. Wisdom can help you overcome worry, and that's what I wanted to do for you today, is pass along some wisdom from Scripture about how to deal with our worries. Our subtitle for this conference is Building Dominant Men and Glorious Women, and I want to say something about that, how that relates to this topic of worry. Men, you young men, you need to understand there are various things in your life that are unmasculine. That's true of all of us of any age. I think Pastor Craw and myself would both agree with that. But what all of us as men need to understand is that these unmasculine behaviors we have virtually always stem from some form of anxiety. Men, your unmasculine behaviors are really rooted in anxiety. Anxiety can keep you from becoming the man God wants you to be. Worry will rob you of the confidence that is your charm as a man. One of the things that men need to develop more than anything else is a healthy and proper sense of confidence. Anxiety robs you of that. Worry will keep you from taking risks that as a man you ought to take. Worry can make you a coward. It can sap your courage. So you need to look at this, young men, as something that's standing in the way of becoming the kind of man you ought to be. Young ladies, I would say the same thing to you. You need to understand that anxiety can lead you to be unfeminine in all kinds of ways. Worry can make you controlling. It can make you manipulative. It can make you insecure. Worry will rob you of your happiness that is your special charm as a woman. Anxiety in men tends to manifest itself as anger. Anxiety in women tends to manifest itself as nervousness. But whatever the case, anxiety distorts our manhood and our womanhood. Now, the reality is anxiety or worry plagues all of us. We need to understand that most of our worry, I would not say all, or most of our anxiety, I would not say all, but most of our worries and anxieties are sin. If worry is a weakness, you need to go to war with it. You need to learn how to attack your weaknesses. Identify your weaknesses as a person and attack them. Attack your sins. And in this case, that means smashing your anxiety. It means destroying your worries. It really comes down to this. This is maybe the most simple way I can put it. Take control of the things in your life God has given you control over. And for the rest, simply pray and trust God to take care of it. Control what you can and trust God with what you can't control. There are certain things about our lives that under the sovereignty of God, we have control over. Things that we can do something about. So if you can do something about it, do something about it. But if you can't, if it's something that's outside of your control, pray and trust God. Let God have that, those things that you can't control. We need to face the reality that there are a lot of things to be fearful of, a lot of things we can worry about. You know, you look at the world around us, we can find all kinds of things to worry about. Our cities are becoming increasingly violent. Our nation is deeply politically divided, so much so people worry about the future of America. Our economy is very fragile. We've already seen that in recent months. There's a virus on the loose. We're in a pandemic still. And that's obviously something that a lot of people worry about. The global situation seems unstable when you look at global politics. The 2020 election is fast approaching. Some might say it can't get here fast enough, but whatever the case, that's certainly something that the people worry about. What's going to happen? What's going to happen if this candidate's elected or if that candidate is elected? You might even be thinking, well, this is 2020, you know, and so many crazy things have happened. What's next? I don't even really know what to worry about. I'm just worried there's something else out there that's going to happen because that's just the kind of year it's been. Then you've got worries that are really specific to where you are in life as you're growing up, as you're in your teenage years. Questions that will perhaps be with you for the rest of your life, but are especially sharp at this stage of life. Questions like, what do people think of me? You ever worry about what other people think of you? Will people like me? What if they reject me? Will I fit in? These are things that most everybody worries about. Am I too tall, too short, too fat, too thin? Will I ever get married? Or will I even ever get a date? Will I go to college or do something else? What am I going to do with my life? What's my future look like? What kind of job will I have? What kind of family situation will I have? Will I find a place to belong? There are a thousand things or more to worry about every day. Indeed, worry can become a kind of habit where your mind just gets used to worrying. Worry kind of becomes the track that your mind runs on. And so even if there's not something really pressing for you to worry about, your mind seeks something out. Maybe you even imagine something to worry about because your mind is just in that habit. It's used to worrying, and so it will. If there's not something real to worry about, you will invent something to worry about. And so being stressed out becomes a way of life. But again, you have to understand, you must not let yourself be ruled by your fears and worries. Rather, you need to rule over your anxieties, not be ruled by them. Because your anxieties enslave you, you need to learn how to break free from them. So, the question is, how can I become a non-anxious person? How can you become a non-anxious person? Well, think about it. You know, if you were not anxious, what would your life look like? If you never had worries, if you never had anxieties, if you never had fears, you would certainly be more joyful. You could be a much greater help to others. You'd be a greater encouragement to others, I bet. You would have more time and energy to give yourself to better things, things that are better than your worries. You know, it's often pointed out the command that Jesus gives more than any other is, do not fear. Do not fear. Fear not. That's what Jesus commands more than anything else. Do not fear. But that command, do not fear, is really the same as the command, do not worry, or do not be anxious, because our worries and our fears walk hand in hand. In fact, our worries and our fears walk us hand in hand down into the depths of darkness, down into the pit, if we let them. So what do you do about your fears? Well, I would tell you, the only thing we have to fear is God Himself. The only thing we have to fear is God Himself. Don't fear or worry about what people think about you. Don't obsess over that. Rather, focus on what God says about you. It's not what other people says about you that ultimately counts. It's what God says about you. And what God says about you can be found in His Word. It can be found in your baptism. Don't fear the virus. Fear God. The virus is a real thing. It's certainly a real trial we're all going through. But the real virus that spreads and kills is anxiety. And we need to stop its spread because it is highly contagious. Fear or worry can spread from one person to another and produce a kind of community-wide panic. Worry is the real disease we need to focus on eradicating. Do not fear or worry about your future. Rather, trust God to take care of your future. Your worries about the future will not help you. You know, worry is usually future-directed. You can worry about something that's happening right in the present moment. But most of the time, our worries are directed towards the future. So you know what worry is more than anything else? Worry is freaking out about the future. That's what worry is. You consider the future, and then you freak out about it. I've heard worriers defined this way. Worriers are visionaries without the optimism. They look into the future and all they see are bad things happening. But you need to realize that most of your worries about the future are never going to come to pass. And that means that if you give energy and time to worrying about the future, that means you've really inflicted suffering on yourself for nothing. And if those things you were worried about do come to pass, well, then actually what you've done in that case is doubled your suffering. Not only do you have to go through the thing itself, which is bad enough, but you had all that run-up to it, all that worry you had about it. So you've just made things worse. You've compounded your troubles through worry. So what do? You need to, you know, people in the world will talk about worry a lot. This is not just something we talk about in the church. People out in the culture talk about this a lot. You can go into the self-help section of your local bookstore and you can find all kinds of books about how to deal with your fears and your worries and your anxieties and your stress. And what they will all focus on in one way or another is how to manage your stress or how to contain your anxieties. But I would tell you that's not really a Christian approach. We're not trying, this is not a sin management program. We're not trying to manage our anxieties or just contain our worries within some kind of box. No, what Scripture calls us to do is to destroy these sins, to destroy these worries, to kill these anxieties, to smash these fears. Have you ever had a panic attack? You know, just where you just kind of overwhelmed, overcome with fear, so it led you to panic. We've got to learn how to deal with things that could cause us to panic. What about stress? Ever get stressed out? You know, our worries and our fears are closely linked to stress, our stress level. What causes you stress? How do you combat stress? What is your strategy to push back against stress? Learning how to handle stress with poise, learning how to put that stress to death is really one of your keys to growing to maturity, to growing into a mature man or woman. Worry is linked to depression. Worry can actually cause you to be physically ill. And there are all kinds of studies that show worry is linked to conditions like depression. A lot of people become depressed, or a lot of people who suffer from depression end up depressed because they are overwhelmed with their fear and with their worry. And so the anxiety wears them down, and eventually it just exhausts them, and it gets to where they just can't even get out of bed in the morning. They just can't face the world because they're so overwhelmed with this anxiety, with this fear. It has exhausted them. It's worn them out mentally and emotionally. Now understand, if you have worries, and I would imagine all of us do, I know I certainly do, if you have worries, you are not alone. Everyone experiences anxiety. And your anxieties will tell you a lot about yourself. If you will analyze that anxiety, you can actually learn a great deal about yourself. Anxiety is like a signal. It might tell you what's wrong with you. It might tell you what's wrong with you spiritually. It might tell you where you need to repent. Your anxieties might reveal a hidden idol in the heart, something that you're so obsessed with, you're worried about it. Identifying that might mean, okay, this is now an idol. I recognize it as an idol, and I'm going to seek to root it out of my life. I'm going to seek to smash that idol. But recognize, too, as I already indicated, not all anxiety is sinful. Sometimes anxiety is your brain and your body's way of protecting you from danger. It's like a built-in alarm system. Sometimes anxiety alerts you to a real danger. If you're walking down a dark alley at night and you're a little bit anxious about that, there may be good reason. That may not be sin. That may just be your body and your mind's way of telling you to be on the alert. You're in a dangerous place. It's not sin in itself. But most of our anxiety is sinful. Most of our anxiety is completely unnecessary. And most of the things you worry about them because you are believing lies. Most of your worries are actually lies. These worries are lying to you, and you are falling for the lies. And you need to recognize this and say, okay, you know what? I don't need to believe those lies. I don't need to obey my anxieties. I don't need to believe those lies. Instead, I need to remember that God is at work in the midst of whatever I am worried about. And when you remember that, then you can start to cast your cares on God, knowing that He cares for you. I'm going to talk about that more in just a minute. You need to know that God is with you in the midst of your worry. And when you know that, then you can let the peace of Christ rule in your heart rather than anxiety. Wouldn't you rather have peace ruling in your heart rather than anxiety? Well, you can have the peace of Christ rule in your heart rather than that anxiety, that fear, that worry. You need to think about what's happening spiritually when you worry. When you worry, instead of trust God, you are actually slandering God. You are slandering God's promises. Your worries are your way of saying to God, God, you are a liar. God, you can't be trusted. God, you know what? I've got to handle this on my own because you won't. That being the case, the remedy to anxiety is trust. Trust that God can indeed handle it, that God will take care of it. See, your anxieties are telling you one thing. God's word is telling you something else. You've got to learn to go with God's word. You've got to learn to confront those lies that drive your worry. You've got to learn to confront those lies with the truths of God's word. When you worry, you're letting those fears become your teacher. You're letting those fears disciple you. Your fears are seeking to catechize you. Your fears are seeking to shape you and mold you into a fearful, worrisome kind of person. You can't do that. You have to resist it. Instead of being discipled by your fears, you need to disciple your fears with God's word. Don't just listen to your fears. Talk back to them. Don't just let your fears catechize you. You catechize your fears, and you can overcome them. Push back against your fears, your anxieties, your worries with God's word, with God's promises. This is what I want to do. I want to give you a game plan for overcoming your worries, your fears, your anxieties. I want to give you a game plan. This is how you can conquer worry and triumph over anxiety. This is how you can smash those fears. This is how you can destroy those stresses in your life. Think about a football coach who develops a game plan. When that football coach goes to develop his game plan, he doesn't know a single thing about what's going to actually happen when the game starts. Once the ball's kicked off, he doesn't know how it's going to go. He doesn't even know who's going to win the coin toss. He doesn't even know how that's going to go. But the fact that he doesn't know everything that might happen, that does not keep him from going into the game unprepared. What a game plan does is it prepares you for anything that might happen. It prepares you. It gives you a basic orientation to the game so you can deal with the adversity when it comes. And what we have in these three passages I read from Matthew, from Philippians, and from 1 Peter, we really have three principles from these three passages, and I want to give you each of them. And you take these together, and it will really give you a game plan for dealing with these worries, these stresses, these anxieties that plague us. Start with Matthew chapter 6. Jesus here is teaching. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus shows we do not need to be anxious about anything. He makes a sustained argument against anxiety. That's really what this section is. It is a sustained argument against your worries. Verse 25, Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or drink or wear." And then he goes on to point to how God cares for lesser creatures like the birds. The Father feeds them. He points to the lilies of the field that God clothes in such glory that not even Solomon, with all his wealth and majesty, was as glorious as the lilies. And then Jesus says, worry accomplishes nothing. Verse 27, this is really key. Worry does not add an hour to your life. So get this. This is really at the heart of Jesus' anti-worry argument. It's this. Worry never helps. Has worry ever helped you in your life in any kind of way? Has worry ever done anything good for you in your life? Has being stressed out or being anxious ever done anything profitable for you in your life? Maybe, let's say you're going on a car trip. And you're worried about your safety. Will we get there in one piece? Has anyone ever gone on a car trip and gotten to their destination safely and then said to themselves, you know what? I sure am glad we worried the whole way here about all the things that could have gone wrong. You know, we could not have gotten here without the worry. That worry sure did help us get to our destination. Or think about an athlete after his team wins a big game. Let's say they were behind in the game and they came back. And then let's say, you know, he's being interviewed after the game. Has any athlete after his team has won some great comeback victory ever said something like this? Yeah, the game was close and hard fought, but worry really pulled us through. You know, when we were down 14 points in the third quarter, worry kicked in and we worried our way to victory. Does anybody ever say that? No. Worry does not help. Okay, you're going on a trip, worry does not help. You're playing sports, worry does not help. Worry never helped anybody perform better. Or does anybody ever come through a time of trial and they get to the end of it and now they're on the other side of that difficult time? Does anybody ever say, you know, if only we had worried a little bit more. If only we had worried a little bit more, then we could have handled that trial better. We could have come out of it in even better shape. No, nobody ever says that. Jesus says, do not worry because it does you no good. Worry does not help. Worry is worthless. What do your worries accomplish? They accomplish nothing, at least nothing useful, nothing constructive. Worry will do nothing to improve your life. I mean, worry may do a lot to make your life worse, but worry will do nothing to improve your life. Worry will do nothing to improve your future. It serves no benefit whatsoever. And Jesus makes that clear. You might say, well, if I don't worry about myself, who's going to take care of me? Well, Jesus has an answer for that. The reason we don't have to worry is because God cares for us. We could even say, I mean, this would not be theologically proper. We could say, you don't have to worry about your future because God is going to worry about it for you. Now, Jesus here is not against planning and foresight and so forth. Those are aspects of wisdom. But what he's saying is you don't need to cross over that line from planning and foresight into worrying about the future because that's not going to do you any good. God cares for you. God's going to take care of you. He cares for you more than the birds and the lilies, and he takes care of them. He takes care of the birds and the lilies. You're far more valuable. You're far more valuable to God than the birds and the lilies. So he's going to take care of you. A worry-free life starts with this, knowing God will take care of you. Jesus contrasts this with the pagans. pagans do have to worry, as Jesus points out in verse 32. He says the Gentiles, that's the pagans, the pagans chase after these things. But the reason that the pagans chase after these things is because their gods don't care for them. Those pagan gods, those idols, don't care for their people. And so they're not going to take care of their people. If you are a pagan, you're on your own. If you are a pagan, you better worry about your future because you don't have a God who's worried about your future. You better take care of things. It all depends on you. You can't count on God to take care of you. Those idols can't help. But Jesus contrasts that with our Heavenly Father who already knows what we need. A Heavenly Father who is good, who is generous, who loves us. And all of this, again, applies not just to the present moment, but to the future. And that's how Jesus wraps up this section in verse 34. He says, "Do not be anxious for tomorrow." Again, worry is mostly future directed. It's mostly about the future. You know, my technical definition of worry is freaking out about the future. And Jesus says, you don't have to freak out about the future. Just keep trusting your Heavenly Father. The future is in His hands. He's going to take care of it. He's got it. So that's the first piece of the game plan. The Father always looks after you, so rest in Him. He is good, and He is in control. Worry will not help you, but God will. Worry doesn't help, but God does help. That's the first piece of the game plan. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. We'll get the second piece of this game plan installed. Paul here is writing from prison, which makes it all the more remarkable how much he talks about joy in this letter, his own joy and the joy he commands the Philippians to share in. Verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Paul is overflowing with joy. He's like a fountain with joy. His joy can't be contained. And this is the context for his instruction about worry. In fact, you could say that worry and joy are constantly locked in a battle in your heart, in your life. And one or the other is going to get the upper hand. If worry wins, you lose your joy. If joy wins, the worry goes away. The worry dissipates. The worry vanishes. Worry robs our joy. Worry is at war with our joy. But joy can overcome our worry. He goes on in verse 6. He gives a command. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything." So Paul would say to us, look, are you worried? And if you say yes, Paul would say, well, stop that. Just stop. Don't do it. Don't be anxious. But you know what? Telling someone, don't be anxious, stop worrying, that doesn't make the anxiety automatically go away. That doesn't automatically stop the worrying. So what will stop the worrying? What will drive out the anxiety? What do we replace the anxiety with? Well, the verse goes on. He says, do not be anxious. Stop being anxious. Put a big stop sign up in front of your worries so they just can't go any further into your life. But how are you going to drive those worries out? What's going to take the place of those worries? Well, he goes on in the rest of the verse. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, so here's what Paul says to do. Take the things you are worried about and turn them over to God in prayer. Take the things you're worried about and just hand them over to God. Give them to God in prayer. Mix that in with things you're thankful for because thanksgiving helps drive out worry as well. But take those things you're worried about and hand them over to God. Turn your worries into petitions. Say, here, God, you know, take your worries and say, here, God, you take this, you handle it, I'm giving this to you. Turn each worry into a prayer. Every time you start to feel those worries come over you, every time you get those worrisome feelings starting to well up within you, that nervousness, that anxiousness, that stressed out feeling that's so familiar to all of us, what does Paul say? Make it your habit to pray about that very thing. That's the wisest thing you can do with your worries, is turn your worries into prayers. And so you go to God in prayer and you verbalize this and you say, God, I am worried about X, Y, and Z, but now I give X, Y, and Z to you. Oh, and yes, Lord, I'm also thankful for A, B, and C, But God, I'm worried about X, Y, and Z, and I want you to take care of X, Y, and Z in my life. And what happens when we pray? God takes away our anxieties and gives us peace. Verse 7, the peace of God, this is the result of praying about the things you're worried over. The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That peace of God will guard you. It will encircle you like a force field. And worries may still bombard you, but when they hit that force field, they're going to bounce off, and they can't penetrate your life or your heart anymore. That peace of Christ, that peace of God is going to be like a force field encircling you, protecting you. You're going to be protected by peace. And there's no better guardian than that, no better guardian for your heart than God's peace. So the more you find yourself worrying, the more you should pray. And the more you pray, the more you will find this peace. Anytime, you know, you prayed about something and your heart's guarded by peace, but then it feels like it, so maybe some worry got through somewhere, a weakness in the defenses. What do? You pray. And that's how you strengthen that force field of peace around your life. You just keep praying. And remember here too, prayer can be offered in the form of song. So don't just get down on your knees and pray, but maybe grab a hymnal or a psalter and sing prayers to God. Many of our hymns and most of the psalms are glorified prayers. They're musical prayers. They're prayers set to music. Make that part of your habit, part of your routine as well. That'll help you get through your worry and on your way to peace. So Paul says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. You know, there's the old saying, don't worry, be happy. Well, this is how I put it. Here's a little proverb for you. Don't worry, be prayerful. Okay, somebody put that on a t-shirt. Don't worry, be prayerful. That's the second piece of the game plan. So the first is, worry won't help, God will. Worry doesn't help, God helps. That's the first piece. Second piece of the game plan, don't worry, pray. Don't worry, pray. Turn your worries into prayers. Finally, we have 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Now, in many ways, this echoes Matthew chapter 6. It reiterates Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. But Peter here really boils it down, and in doing so, I think he gives us a slightly different perspective or angle on this same reality. Peter's real point here is that God cares. So don't doubt God's care for you. Don't forget His care. Don't ignore His care. Don't get so wrapped up in other things that you forget all about the ways in which God cares for you. Instead, Peter would tell us, dwell on His care. Meditate on all the ways God cares for you. All of us, if we think about our lives, can see all kinds of ways in which God has cared for us, ways in which God has seen us through. And the older you get, the more you mature in various ways, the more big decisions you face or stressful situations you face or hard things you go through, the more opportunities you will have to see how God cares for His people, how God cares for you. And so Peter would say, keep trusting God even in the hard times. Keep trusting God knowing that He cares for you. So what does Peter add to this game plan we're installing so we can go to war with worry? Well, think of it this way. When you are worried, when you allow yourself to worry, you are carrying a load you were not designed to carry. You're like a truck that has exceeded its payload. You know, if you've got a truck that can haul something, tow something, it's got a payload, it's got a max capacity. You go beyond that and it just crushes the truck. Okay, when we start to worry, when we try to carry these burdens on ourselves, it's really dangerous. You are weighing yourself down. You are burdening yourself with things you weren't designed to carry. You've gone over your max payload. And so what do? Here's your game plan to fight and defeat worry. It's got to include this. Don't keep your cares to yourself. Give them to the caring God. Remember, God cares for you. God cares for you so much, He gave His Son to suffer and die for you on the cross. If God has taken care of your sin problem and your death problem by giving His Son to die for you on the cross, then certainly you can count on Him to take care of every other problem you might face. The biggest problem anybody in the human race faces is the sin problem. Because of our sin, we deserve God's wrath. It's the death problem. Because of our sin, we deserve death. We deserve an eternal death in hell. God has dealt with that problem through the death of His Son. If God cares for you that much, if God has given you His Son, what is He going to withhold from you that you need? He's not going to withhold any good thing from you. He will give you everything you could possibly need or ultimately want. God is going to take care of you. If God has taken care of your eternal problem by making you right with Himself through the death of Jesus on the cross, surely He's going to take care of all your much smaller temporal problems. If God's taken care of your sin problem, your death problem, your hell problem, surely He's going to take care of the what's going to happen in the rest of 2020 problem. Or what if my friends don't like me for this or that reason problem. If God's taking care of the really big problems, He can take care of the really small problems as well. In my church back in Birmingham, we've got a Wednesday night Vesper service we do every week. And we sometimes end that service with a benediction that actually comes from the African church. I think it's from the African Anglican church, the Anglican church in Africa. And I think it'd be a good ending for us here, because I think this is really what Peter is getting at. The benediction goes like this. All our sins, we send to the cross of Christ. All our problems, we send to the cross of Christ. All the devil's works, we send to the cross of Christ. All our hopes, we set on the risen Christ. See, that's Peter's message to you. Your problems, your sins, the devil's works, God's taking care of all of that through the cross of Christ. Your hope, what about the future, the things you hope for the future? God's taking care of that in the resurrection of Christ. And that's ultimately all you need to know to defeat worry and to smash anxiety and to overcome fear in your life. Let me pray for us. Father, we do thank You for this time we have to gather out here to enjoy the beauty of Your creation. And Father, I pray that for all of us, I know we all have all kinds of things that we worry about, things that cause stress in our lives, things that we are fearful about. And Father, I pray that in each one of those cases, we would learn to go to war. I pray that we would go to war in the power of Your Holy Spirit, using the sword of the Spirit, which is Your Word. And I pray that we would give these cares and worries and fears to You. I pray that we would overcome them, that our lives may be filled with joy and peace. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.